Super Bowl Sunday Spectacular.
That's what it is, too. And I don't know, is Taylor Swift going to make it?
Well, she finished her concert yesterday afternoon. Got on a plane.
So is she there yet?
Well, you know, it's a highly sophisticated private plane that she's on. So with apparently a massive carbon footprint is what I'm finding out. Amazing. You know, Taylor Swift is the only person on earth that could get the Republicans to give a shit about climate change.
Exactly. Of course, anything that they can use to paint, you know, somebody black, they'll do it.
Well, they prefer people they're going against to be black, just to begin with. It's strange, though, because, you know, if you think about it, okay, she's blonde hair, blue-eyed, right?
Right.
This is like the quintessential American pop star.
The homecoming queen's going out with a football star.
The football star from a Midwest team, even. Like, it's not even a, you know what I mean?
However, he went out for, you know, the vaccine, so...
Well, this finally, you know, it finally draws into sharp relief how they really feel about San Francisco, because, you know, San Francisco's meat and potatoes in terms of conservatives, you know, pointing the finger at liberal policy, and, you know, California's a failed state, Frisco's a failed city, this and that. They hate San Francisco, right, for obvious reasons. And now they have to root, they're so anti-vaccine that now they have to root for San Francisco today.
Right? The irony is thick.
Look, I'm all for having... you can't twist yourself into knots, you know, like that, I don't think. It's not healthy.
I think the funny thing is that Taylor Swift hasn't said boo about politics. Not since, you know, in endorsing Biden in, what was it, 2020?
Yeah.
She hasn't said boo. But Fox News is tripping over themselves to tell her to stay out of politics. What are you doing, you know?
Hmm. Stay out of the football games that we stopped watching like 6 years ago, right?
Right.
Like, does anybody remember that? Like, when all of the conservative media was, that was it. We're not going to watch the NFL anymore. We don't like those players.
Really? I don't remember that. But I don't pay much attention to
when Kaepernick kind of and all the players were kneeling for police brutality.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they quit watching football. We boycott the NFL.
Of course.
Nothing makes you more money than a company than having conservatives boycott you.
it's pretty crazy. I mean, this is rising to the level of Pizzagate, or, you know, all the crazy conspiracy theories of baby eating Democrats, and it's at that level.
It's just so funny for me today for them to be rooting for San Francisco.
I know.
Oh my God, it's so hilarious.
Irony on top of ironies.
Irony is delicious when it's happening to somebody else, you know?
Well, right.
But, you know, the Bud Light, and there was Disney, remember? They boycotted,
sure.
Disney. I think Nike got boycotted. Starbucks, of course. You know, and of course, these are all the biggest companies on the planet. You know?
I think there's evidence, though, that the Republicans might not actually be human. They're robots or aliens. They don't know how real people think or act. I remember when they were trying to make AOC look silly, and it was a Republican that posted that dance that she had done in college, and it just made us love her all the more.
You know?
She seemed smart and playful and hot, you know.
Well, I remember there was a picture of her from college. She's in a bathtub, and all you see is her toes, you know, by the faucet. And I remember, oh my goodness. I mean, they were
honestly, me too. I was trying to, because it's in the reflection of the faucet.
You can't see anything, but
you can't see anything.
But that was the idea, you know. Oh yeah, I got into CGI production after that. I tried to. I figured if I switched formats, but no dice, nothing.
Yeah, so I think they overreach, and I hope that's what's happening. But every time you think they've overreached, millions of people sign on. So what?
Yeah, look, the deficit was what, 8 million, 9 million votes last time?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that that gap is going to get closed that much. I mean, maybe I'm being naive, but...
No, I'm agreeing with you. It's kind of terrifying, though. But
well, it seems like, because I saw this theory the other day. TikTok is great for theories, by the way. If you haven't, oh shit, we should do a whole show just on those. No, but the big theory, of course, Taylor Swift is a CIA plant. That's the first one.
Yeah, psyop.
But also. We're repeating 2020. There's also that's a new theory that's out. Like we're redoing 20. We're just, something happened with the timeline. So now we're because if you look in 2020, it was the Chiefs and the Niners in the Super Bowl again. Four years ago. Right. We had Bush versus
so Biden and Trump.
Biden and Trump. Right. It's strange.
What else?
Well, the Republicans are already saying if he loses the election that, he can't lose a fair election. So you remember that from 2020.
Okay.
If he loses, it's not fair.
Yeah, of course.
So we're setting up to do another insurrection-looking thing. And Trump, Jesus Christ, Trump. How dumb can you possibly be? Like, his lawyers argue it's not an insurrection. They spend 5 hours arguing that. He goes out on the steps. He goes out on the steps and says, "Yeah, there was an insurrection, and Pelosi did it." It's like a total disconnect.
Talk about gas.
Yeah, we robbed the bank, but I didn't shoot anybody. Wait, you just said you weren't there.
I know the semantics involved in those Supreme Court. Appellate court arguments, amazing.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you like Dancing with the Stars,
it wasn't an insurrection. Or no, he didn't promise to support the Constitution. He just said he promised to defend blah 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 and all that.
And this argument that he's not an officer, like the one person trusted, the one person in our society trusted with upholding those laws. Is the only person that can legally break them? That makes no sense.
No, not at all. I don't even want. It looks like the Supreme Court is sort of ignoring that aspect of it, and they're going with one state shouldn't be able to decide for the rest of the country who's, can be the president.
Which is specious on its face because it's not. Colorado's making a decision for Colorado. You know what I mean?
They're making the decision for Colorado, but it would have an impact on the general election. It would deny him. How many electoral votes do they have?
Well, there's 35 states that want to do it. So that's the last thing I heard. So it's like there's 34 states waiting to see what happens with Colorado, basically. And here's
the pundits are saying it's going to be. Either 9-0 or 8-1 against Colorado on this one.
And the craziest thing is, see, this is what's wrong with liberals, okay? I agree. I don't think he should be removed from the ballot. I don't think it's a precedent that you want to set. Does that make sense?
Right, because, look at what they're trying to do with Mayorkas. Just because, Democrats impeached Trump twice.
Yeah, I mean, not even a crime. We just want to investigate.
Nothing. There's nothing. They've got nothing.
I mean, that's not how an impeachment works. You don't do an impeachment to do an investigation. You know what I mean? It's not. You do the investigation first, and then
And then if you've got reasonable suspicion of, high crimes and misdemeanors, then you go for it.
I mean, how do you lose an impeachment vote, a shoddy impeachment vote? How do you lose that with a majority? That just shows how off base they are. Like, you can't even, with a majority, they couldn't get it through.
The speaker's inexperience is showing a little there.
At some point, I mean, I guess I've always wondered if people were going to wake up. But that apparently doesn't seem to be happening. We do seem to be repeating 2020. Looks like we're going step by step, almost. I mean,
yeah. And the problem with it being close like the last time is they're putting people in place that weren't in place last time around because, we need to shore up that one. We need to put somebody in there that'll be on our side. And they know where to go now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's unsettling.
Fucking disaster. Like, it's so embarrassing, you know what I mean? To have other countries be witnessing
world,
this.
Yeah.
I mean, you figured the last time we would have figured it out, and, you know. Here's the lesson. You know, if you have an attempted coup and you punish zero people over it, you know what I mean? I mean, some rank and file people did some time, but nobody at the planning, nobody at the command and control stage of that. So, what did we think was
going
to happen?
That one's going forward. The special prosecutor's going forward. With that, and I don't know, that looks good. He keeps losing in court.
It looks good, but if they can't get it going, I guess by July, it's not happening until next year. So, and if it's not happening until next year, none of them might even be in power next year. Like if Trump wins, he might just get rid of the Justice Department altogether.
Oh, they're talking about unitary presidency. The senator from Utah, Mike Lee, says the president should just ignore the Supreme Court like Jackson did in Cherokee removal and just, you know, tell us, appoint whoever he wants in the government and then tell the Supreme Court to hack it.
Yeah, kick rocks. Do something about it.
Yeah, kick rocks. Yeah. They're trying to dismantle the Constitution in a really fundamental way. Unitary presidency, please. There's checks and balances. That's what the basis of the Constitution. And they're trying to undo that for a dictator.
You know, there's two ways to destroy democracy. One is quick, and it requires an army being involved. Okay?
Right.
The other way is it takes time. It takes a generation. You know what I mean? Like a Ceausescu type situation where you you have an underclass that's angry that rises up and overthrows the. I mean, it takes time to develop that. They're trying to do it in. It feels like in 6 months they're going to try to pull it off. This is not the moment. I mean, strategically speaking, it feels like it's not the moment. This is way too soon. You know, it won't be Trump.
I know.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. They seem like absolute Tucker Carlson's interviewing Putin.
Yeah.
Trump says if NATO doesn't pay up their fair share, he'll let Russia do whatever they want.
Shocking, because nobody expected that.
What? He says that. Yeah. He will let Russia invade NATO countries that don't pay their fair share.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I'm boggled.
I don't know where. I don't even know how we got here. Like, you know, political infighting aside, you know, there was some name calling during Obama's terms. You know, it just seems like we've reached a point now where Jesus Christ, we are two countries. We're two countries already.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, you know, the one caveat here is that, you know, there's a lot of people on the far right that are, let's say, older, you know. So, you know, there's that aspect of it that most of the voters...
We might win by attrition.
We are winning by attrition. We are winning by attrition. But again, that takes time, too.
Sure.
I mean...
I think they've been full on with this right-wing takeover of the U.S. government since 2016, though.
Right.
That was when those fascists realized this is our moment. This is our guy. We can do this.
I'll even say the Tea Party movement. What was that, 2012?
That was part of it.
That was like opening the door and sticking a brick in there so it wouldn't shut. That's what that was.
Right. It didn't focus on the fascist aspect of it, though, until 2016, I think.
Well, I think the fascists are always in the shadows.
Yes.
Yeah. But now they don't have to be in the shadows anymore for some reason. It's okay to be nationalist and.
Sure. The thing that was, though, I mean, I thought the neocons were fascists. They're against this current. I mean, we're talking Cheney, who's against Trump. So the neocons, as conservative and authoritarian as they were not this current crop.
Yeah, because they want their old school. They know the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to set policy, and then people get outraged, and then they forget. And so you do incremental little chinks out of democracy. It checks and balances, right? People overstep, and then they get called out, and then they got to step back. And it's the pendulum kind of swings really in the center, but then it just kind of inches out to the right, inches out to the left. That's a society. That's when you have a society that works. You know what I mean?
So, but you've got enough people voting for this authoritarian craziness.
Well, whatever they're voting, whatever they think they're voting for, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. I mean, you listen to people describe why they're for Trump. You get some just really crazy nonsense. I mean, they're, you know, completely untrue and wacky, even.
Speaking of wacky, the invasion at the border. again with this racist dog whistle, you know. I studied economics. Unfortunately, so you know, if I hadn't, I might be hook, line, and sinker with this. But I don't see a migrant coming across the border to get a job here. I don't see that as a negative thing in any way. I mean,
economically, it's definitely not. Did you see the report of something like $7 trillion they added to the economy?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I know it because I lived and grew up in Arizona, and it's just something we've known. It's something we've known forever in Arizona, which is the more that you can get in, the better off we are.
Right. Now, that being said, it's a mess down at the border. There's too many people. It's too long. A wait once you've applied for asylum. So that part of it definitely needs to be fixed.
Oh, yeah. That's the part that needs to be fixed.
Irony. Okay, who was it? Oh, there was one on the border. He was a Republican poll, too. It was Zink from a Republican from Montana said, "I knew that we would have the ability to block the Democrat agenda. We've exceeded my wildest expectations on blocking because we not only block the Democrat agenda, we block the Republican agenda."
Yeah, they blocked everything.
Right? The bill was almost everything they wanted. They demanded for Ukraine aid to go forward.
But then you realize it wasn't about that. It was about blocking Biden from being able to do anything. That's the only move.
How treasonous is that?
Super treasonous.
They don't want to do something that America needs until Trump gets in. So he can have it as an issue. They're saying it out loud.
But he's not going to fix it either when he gets in.
No, of course not.
Right. They don't care about it being fixed at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
This reminds me of, because this has happened a few times already, right? Where they've, you know, with the gas gouging bill, that's the one that stuck out to me was, you know, when everyone was, right-wing media was all up in arms because the gas was more expensive than when Trump was in office, right? So then they put forth bipartisan legislation to stop that, to make it illegal to gouge at the pump, and every single Republican voted against it.
Yeah.
They're more interested with campaigning and propaganda talking points than they are with doing anything regarding the country.
How treasonous is that?
It's not good. I mean, I don't think that's what you want. Yeah.
I mean, I hate to use that word, but when you're actively know that you're doing stuff that is not helping the country, it's against the interests of average Americans, and yet you do it anyway for whatever political advantage you can get out of it.
And what the scariest part is, I don't think the average American on the right cares that that's happening. On some level, they don't care that they're getting screwed. They don't care.
I think John Adams would feel vindicated that democracy is not the best. That he called it mobocracy. And he thought that the public doesn't have the intelligence to make laws and choose leaders. Yeah, he might be right.
Well, you know, I've always felt for many years now that we, and maybe even since college, that we didn't have a democracy here. We had a corporatocracy. That's kind of what I've always... I've kind of always felt that way a little bit, but now I'm wondering if we even have that, you know, because this seems
right.
All of this seems out of character for a real corporatocracy. You know, you wouldn't do anything to destroy the market.
Yeah. And that's from day one under constitutional U.S. government that's actually been part of it. We got Hamilton was our corporatist of the founders. Mm. He was all about the market.
The idea with a good corporatocracy is if it works well enough, there's enough access to shore up all the fail points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the idea anyway. But you know, but of course, if you do it that way, then corporations have to pay taxes. So that's the first place where we kind of fall apart there, because we don't really hold our corporations feet to the fire on that.
Absolutely.
We let them do whatever they want, really.
Pretty much true. And more and more, I mean, ever since Reagan, especially, slashing taxes on the wealthy, and then Trump did it again, which is why we have, a $30 trillion deficit?
Well, that's really out of hand now. It's always kind of been like that when you go from, a Democratic leadership to a Republican leadership. It's been, you know, tax and spend, and then, you know.
Well, that was the Democrats, but the Republicans are borrow and spend.
Borrow and spend, right. Yeah, I don't know what we got now. It really feels like it's the end, in a lot of ways. Because it just seems so outrageous. You mentioned it, the debt, $20, $21 trillion, $26 trillion.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it is.
I mean, right. You know, say, I remember when $6 trillion was blasphemous. You know, what have we done? What have we done here? You know.
Yeah, I mean, a trillion was an astronomical number.
We could even reach $1 trillion in debt. I'm Walter Cronkite. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How the fuck do we get out of this? I mean,
well, okay, so Biden has had a good progressive presidency. That's the way you get out of it. And you've got to tax the wealthy. That's it. You've got a wealth redistribution. It's all the old stuff, you know? They do fine when taxes are high, corporations.
Everybody does fine.
Yeah, and then so does the middle class and the poor.
Can we go back to migrants real quick again?
Yeah,
just briefly. Look, you know, people in Arizona, you know, are I'm seeing comments, you know, why can't we shore up the border? Why can't they just stay in their country? Okay. you know, which makes perfect sense unless you know American history, and then you know that up until 1848, Arizona was Mexico.
Yeah.
Right. And it was bought for pennies on the dollar, on nothing, on the nothing.
Yeah.
And we're talking California, Utah, New Mexico, Washington State, Oregon. There's like 11 states that were done in that purchase.
Yeah.
So once again, we have a failure of the school system to teach people this. And now here we are. And why can't they stay in their country? This is their country. This is their country.
Well,
1848 isn't 20,000 years ago.
And you can say, okay, today, that was then, this is now, this is America, we got it fair and square by conquest.
No, the argument, the erudite argument with it is, well, we signed a treaty for that. So that was, sure. That was a treaty. America signed a lot of treaties in that period, didn't they? And before sure, that.
Right, and if you were, you know, if you were here, and signed a treaty with the U.S. government. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, because they broke every single one of them. Yeah. So
now, treaties with Europe stood a little better, but and other countries around the world. But here, yeah.
But forget all of that, okay? Let's just talk about the modern migrant. What is the modern migrant that crosses the border? What do they represent to the United States? What happens to the United States when that migrant comes over? Because we're being sold on the idea that it destroys the country. Does it?
Does absolutely it? Not. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about rapists and MS-13 and as if that's what's coming across. These are poor people fleeing for their lives. That's basically what it is. You don't go on a 1,000-mile journey on foot to try to get into a place where you can, you know, keep your family alive if you're MS-13.
I mean, right, exactly. You know, but the migrant that comes over, I see them carrying a bag of money into the country. That's what I see. Not taking
that's
money.
Exactly. That's not even a metaphor. That's exactly true.
It's a bag of money. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why? Because they're going to have to live here and eat here and work here and they're going to spend that money, any money
and
that
build,
they get.
Build the economy.
And build the economy. That's exactly the basis of the economy. I mean, that's it. In Arizona, they say it's 100,000 real jobs a year. 100,000 real jobs are created by our illegal immigration. And they put a figure on
so
it.
So we could argue, though, that more people are coming than we can reasonably process. Or
well, that's the problem.
Then take. So.
The problem is processing is the problem. It's not.
Yeah.
Once they cross the border, they do a very good job of figuring it out on their own. They do a real good job.
Well, that's my feeling too. But you know, a lot of people, Republicans especially, think it's a zero sum game. Every migrant that comes across the border is a job lost for, you know. White America.
I think they know the truth. I think they're just saying that like everything else. I think they know it's good for the country.
Well, there's a lot of evidence for what you say, that's for sure.
it is the way that it is. You know, the I-17, again, I'll tell the story a million times. The I-17 freeway that cuts up through Arizona, circumvents the whole state. You know, when they were building that, they would send buses, dozens of buses down to the border to pick up migrant workers each day. And they would bring the buses back. They would work that day. And the next day, the buses would go down empty again to get more. That's how that worked for 20 plus years in Arizona. The state didn't fall apart. We built our highway with that.
Sure. Well, California had the Bracero program that worked really well for a few years, a couple of decades. Well, it worked well for the country. It didn't work all that well for the Braceros, but
Australia just went through this with the pandemic. You know, when the pandemic was in full force, they couldn't get their migrant workers into the country. They couldn't get them in.
All right.
And they started having gigantic problems with their structure. They couldn't get stuff moved. They couldn't, shit just wasn't happening. And it hurt everybody.
But they're trying to stem the flow. If you want to stem the flow, you help those countries that are broken and the reason that they're leaving, you help them fix their problem.
We don't want them to fix their problems. We need those workers. We need our economy. We need our economy propped up. We need that. It's
a
shell game.
Minority opinion.
It's a shell game. No economist would argue with me. No economist.
No, absolutely right. I was reading Paul Krugman just the other day. He was saying exactly that.
They gotta eat. They gotta buy tacos. They need to buy work gloves and work boots. And guess what? The guy who owns the store that sells the gloves, he's happy to have them come in and buy those gloves.
That's right.
He's able to put in a jacuzzi at his house with that extra money. And guess what? The company that puts in the jacuzzi, they're happy to sell that jacuzzi to him and put it in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the fucking economy.
In every way. It provides workers who spend money, and that money goes very quickly to the top.
They're trapped here. If you hand them a dollar, it's the sun will not set before the central bank has that dollar.
Yeah, right.
It takes less than one day for that to happen.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we shouldn't be figuring out how to stop them. We should be figuring out how to put in goddamn moving sidewalks is what we should do. We should be sending buses down there like we did before. That's what we should be doing.
I agree 100%.
What the fuck? Xenophobia ruins everything.
King Charlie has regal cancer.
Yeah, well, that's the best kind to get. I mean, goddamn.
You might be right.
I'm not a huge Prince Charles fan historically, but I mean, Jesus Christ, that kind of sucks as a life. You know what I mean? What he's went through.
Yeah, right. Being next in line for most of his life, then he gets in and then he gets cancer.
Well, being told that he was next in line, but in reality, everyone knew he was a cadet son anyway. But no one told him.
Right.
It was always going to be one of his kids.
Yeah.
What didn't they like about him exactly? Like, how did he fall out of favor? Because he married Di? That was it?
Maybe. I can't say that I followed it. You know,
he went outside the immediate bloodline. Really, so you got a mark on him because of that.
That may be it.
That's what I heard. I heard he fell out of favor when he married Lady Di because she wasn't in the group.
Huh.
Even though she was from royal blood, it just wasn't the right. Well, it wasn't the right royal blood.
She was a Spencer. But she was well loved, though, Princess Di.
Yeah, that made it worse. That made it worse. Yeah. You know, he was supposed to marry his second cousin. He wasn't supposed to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And she was. I mean, you know, it's hard to judge her. You know, now that she's passed. It's hard to accurately judge her, but she really was a groundbreaking in terms of a royal figure.
Clearly.
I mean, she was closer to Jesus.
I don't, you know, I follow all of that. I don't follow the monarchy very closely, but you couldn't ignore Princess Di, her impact on the world, and, you know, even Americans.
Well, her kissing the AIDS patients and, you know, she showed a level of intelligence and compassion that, you know, was closer to Christ.
Was unusual in the monarchy.
Unusual in general society, even.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was too much for them to bear. You know, and then she went and got together with, Fayed. Yeah.
Right. Then, of course, all the conspiracy theories with the paparazzi running her off the road.
I mean, some of it comes from Lady Di herself, who said in an interview, I don't imagine I'll ever be queen, you know? Like, she said
it.
She said it. Like, I can't I can't envision that ever happening, even though that was what was supposed to happen. You know? She knew. And that's when they were together. I mean, what? Yeah, I mean, I do feel bad. I do feel bad for Prince Charles. Or King Charles? It's King, right?
He's King.
Yeah, he's King.
King now.
He's King. So you got to be King for about 30 minutes.
Well, he's still King.
What do you think about William?
I don't have any thoughts about William at all. Once again, it's the monarchy. Jesus. Talk about anachronism.
I don't like electing leaders. How do you feel about leaders in terms of, like, hairline? Like, how important is that? You know what I mean? Because the thing is...
Bald politicians?
I think you want to avoid bald politicians, and you want to avoid politicians with too fine a head of hair also. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You kind of want to be... You know, I like a little receding hairline on my leaders. You know, let me know that the man has tasted pain. Let me know that he's felt the sting of regret. You know what I mean? Huh.
Can you think of any examples of what you're talking about here?
Well, I knew John F. Kennedy Jr. was never going to be a, you know, I would never have supported that because he too fine a head of hair, too fine. You know,
okay.
I don't need my leader to look in the mirror and go, God must have done this for me. You know what I mean? I don't need that. I want my leader to look in the mirror and go, Jesus Christ, look what God did to me. But, you know, at least I can try to make something out of this. You know?
Okay.
That's why I love Bob Newhart. You know what I mean? He was approachable.
Let's see. Have we had any bald presidents?
Well, when Cheney was president. He was balding.
Yeah, true, so true. And right, and he was Darth Cheney.
Clinton, great head of hair, right?
Bill Clinton, yeah, he did.
Wonderful head of hair. So
wonderful head of hair.
So he was probably not a good choice. You know what I mean?
And he was not a great president, no.
Probably wasn't a great president, you know?
Yeah.
Knew enough to get out of his own way, but not all the way out of his own way.
He wasn't a bad president, but he was not a good president.
The Bushes had good hair, you know, for the most part.
Reagan had a pretty good head of hair.
Reagan did have a good set of hair. So there you go. So I'm telling you, this theory holds. I think Obama had good hair. You know what I mean? Never really grew it out, but, you know, he had an okay hairline. But, you know, I'll say Obama did not have a fine head of hair. See, that's a good choice.
But that was his barber's fault.
It was just a look. It was a clean look. It was a clean look for him.
I mean, he could have gone full afro if he'd wanted.
He could have, and he could have let it gray up too, which would have been interesting. You know,
but it did.
But I mean, when you go a little more afro, like a couple more inches, and then you get the gray, and then you get the gray. Now you're getting into some. now you're in some preacher. So, see, that's a nice head of hair, but it's not too fine. If does that make sense? He would have been a good choice. So I'm supportive of Obama and his
totally.
Hair. Now, Trump is the caveat here because...
Yeah, it's hard to know what's going on with his hair.
It's hard to know how he feels about it. I mean, maybe he looks at it and is like, oh, look at my luscious hair. I don't know.
I think his hair is thinning.
I don't know how much of it's actually hair.
I know. What is that up there?
I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, there are good toupees that exist, you know, there are
right?
systems, you can get surgery.
Who knows what he's done?
No, instead
he's
he has a fucking alley cat on his head. Not to look down on alley cats.
Before I want to mention, do you know Mojo Nixon?
I'm vaguely familiar.
Yeah. Big, outsized personality here in San Diego. He had some hits in the 80s. Debbie Gibson is Pregnant with My Two-Headed Love Child. It was one of his big hits.
Okay.
And he finally wound up on Sirius Radio. But he died... last Wednesday, So big deal here. And he's a super great guy. He was a good friend of mine. We were in, actually it was our drummer, Dan McLean, who became Country Dick Montana, who brought him to San Diego for his first gig. We were doing a residency at his club. And so Dan was booking it and brought Mojo Nixon in. And I remember he had a slap board that he kicked his feet on for rhythm, and he had a guitar, and he was just a screaming, hollering, crazy man. And it was so entertaining. Well, and now he's gone.
So was it was like folk music or what was it? What genre of music was it?
Folk X. I don't know.
Punk folk.
Punk. I don't know. He we put him in the punk circuit, but he was pretty much his own thing. But at any rate,
I had to give a shout out to
Mojo Nixon and his fans and his place.
Well, you know,
he winds up, he's in a movie, the Jerry Lee Lewis movie. He's the drummer in the band, and Jerry, it's a small part, but he got some weight.
Well, we hate to see a San Diego alum, music alum pass.
Yeah.
You know,
and he died on his most recent gig. He's only 66. He was doing these country western cruise thing that, you know, the boat would go out and
sounds like a nightmare, but okay.
I know it's a bit of a blue-haired thing, but he was out doing that and heart attack.
Oh, he was performing? He died while performing?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was during the performance, but it was on that tour that he died.
Well,
so shout out.
Hey, you got to, you know, if we could all die doing what we love, you know, that's probably going to be embarrassing for the paramedics, but nonetheless.
Okay, the other elephant in the room, if that were an elephant, Gaza.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's a minefield. I mean,
and we're paying for all of it, too. We're paying for both sides.
I mean, that's splitting both sides of the aisle.
We're fighting a proxy war against ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, should we write it out? I mean, that's what's happening. What in the fuck? You know, I mean, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Like, you know. I mean, these are the kind of problems where you just kind of start to look the other way as a policy. You know what? All right, you guys figure that out. Kind of thing.
Well, we've been trying for 70 years to fix it, and it seems unfixable. I mean, the obvious solution is the two-state solution and complete autonomy for Palestine.
But you have one side saying, no go, that'll never happen. Like, that's
right.
That's the Israeli policy, right? No, no to that.
That's well, the Hamas policy too. I mean, you can't. How are they going to drive 10 million people, 10 million Israelis out of Israel? In what universe is that going to happen?
It's never going to happen.
So, and every time you attack, Israel's going to overreact. War criminally, as it turns out.
How about this as a solution? Relocate all the Palestinians to Bavaria. Give them Bavaria. Like, go back to Germany and go, hey, you know what? Turns out there's still some more money owed on that. So, you know.
Then what do you do about the Iranians and the Hezbollah, and they've all pretty much sworn that Israel can't exist, but every time they attack, they get swatted down massively, and it just goes on and on and on.
You know, and it's really easy to develop a colder heart with this towards by the Palestinians. Forget all the horrors we're seeing on TV. I'm saying just in terms of, you know, this all jumps off with that assault, right? the December
sixth. Barbaric, brutal assault.
Pretty barbaric, pretty brutal, you know, innocent people, you know. So it's, I'm saying it's, I can see the argument that, well, the Palestinian people need to overthrow their government. I see that. You know, but when we usually want that to happen, we usually help them do that, right? I mean, we're good at that.
Right. A little covert action here.
Little covert action. Like, let's I mean, that would be nice. I think if the Palestinians rose up and said, no more Hamas, get the fuck out of the country. You know, I think the whole world would be behind them.
I think
them.
The calculation has changed. Hamas, in their last election, was elected by 2/3 of the vote, right, in Palestine.
Right.
In Gaza, I guess. And so they're on board. The Palestinians are on board. And when Hamas broke in, apparently a bunch of Palestinians raced in too and started in with the slaughter. They've been driven mad by hate, I guess, both sides.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of revenge to get.
Yeah. And
What about Tucker Carlson as the new Tokyo Rose?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. He loves Putin.
Do you realize he's getting like 30 times the exposure he was getting when he worked at Fox? Can you even imagine? Can you even think about that? Like, even more than that. Like, his interview with Putin got like 115 million views. He never got more than 5 million views for any of his Fox work.
Well, he wasn't getting much after leaving Fox and until this interview.
Fucking but unbelievable.
Putin's the enemy. If we have an enemy, it's Putin.
I think war is our enemy.
War itself.
War itself is our
enemy. The fomenter of the major conflict right now is Putin.
You know, and Tucker Carlson asked him, why'd you invade Ukraine? And he started with, well, 4.5 billion years ago, the earth cooled. And then,
yeah, right?
Like, he did like a 30-minute...
Oh, did you see any of it? I've just seen excerpts.
I caught bits of it. The first half hour was
his Russian history lesson.
A history lesson. And no breaks, no notes, no, just saying it, you know? To me, that was a little embarrassing because, you know, Biden couldn't do a 30-minute speech on anything. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, I mean, okay, but Biden has given some of the most brilliant speeches of my lifetime. Both State of the Union addresses, the real recent one as well, too. I'm impressed with Biden's speechifying. I don't care about him stumbling over this word or that word. The substance of his speeches are free of platitude. Here's what needs to be done. Here's why it needs to be done. Here's how we can do it. Even Obama didn't have that kind of straightforward, policy-driven type speeches.
Right.
Biden does.
I think he's so old that he's just like, ah, fuck it. I'm just gonna do a good job. Screw it. Like, he doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, he's just. He's an old man, you know, and
he is an old man.
He's an old man.
One of the pluses of that is his experience, and that's why I think even though I was really miffed that they screwed Bernie the way they did in the campaign when the DNC just came in and said, look, it's Biden, we'll give you some nice plum position in the Senate and. You know,
well, we'll adopt some of your talking points.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Biden realized how popular progressive policies were after watching this. And he went in and knowing how the wheels of government work, having been there for 40 years himself, he was able to get stuff done that I'm thinking Bernie would not have been able to do.
Yeah, there would have been more pushback. You know, it's easy to call Bernie a lunatic. That became pretty popular, you know. Oh, he's crazy.
Well, sure.
You know?
Sure.
And he is, and so, that's why we should have elected him also.
Exactly. Hey, they elected the other lunatic.
So. We're paying a price for not electing Bernie Sanders, you know. There's some debt.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I think Biden was able to pull stuff out of that because he's an experienced politician. I'm not a person who wants term limits. I've never been for term limits. Because it takes a little time to figure out how Washington works. So it throws the good out with the bad.
Right. And if a guy's popular, why shouldn't he be there for 16 years?
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, it's a democracy, right?
Well, we're talking about the presidency there, but I'm talking about, you know, other offices, Congress and all. Two terms of the president's, there was one reason that most presidents have wanted to leave after 8 years. It's a tough job.
Well, you look at the before and afters for almost every president, certainly in modern times, and you can see that a weight was bared there. You know, there was some damage. Even Clinton looked like shit afterwards.
Yeah, right.
And he was having a pretty good time while he was there.
One of the most athletic presidents. He went gray. So, yeah, absolutely. So I think that's fine. I think if we wanted to elect a president more than two times, I think we should be able to. But
have you been following this?
We're talking about term limits on Supreme Court, and there's a possible reason for that too.
Yeah, we're pretty screwed,
you know,
here with this. We probably should have got more justices. When that was,
I'm for 15. I want 15 justices.
We got a real problem here with this Supreme Court.
Oh, it's broken. It's completely broken.
And they're not old. A lot of them are not old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we might have Barrett in there for another 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's not the worst. The worst is Clarence Thomas. I mean, jurisprudence is not in the man.
And I was a huge Clarence Thomas fan at the beginning.
Who, you?
I was when he first, all of that. You know, because I figured that they were trying to attack
Anita Hill.
Yes, and I figured that was all subterfuge because he was black. That's what I had in my mind at that time. Like they were just, so that's why I was supporting him. You know, I wanted diversity on the court. You know,
Biden really supported him.
I think you know, America was pretty split on that deal. You know. And I think at the time I wasn't on, probably, as it turns out, I definitely wasn't on the right side of history with that one, because, you know, we should have taken that opportunity to get rid of him, as it turns out.
Well, four of the women came forward saying that he had sexually harassed them. She took a lie detector test, indicating her truthfulness. He would not.
Right. Indicating his
high-tech lynching is what he called it.
Right. I bought into it. I bought into it. I'll be honest. You know, it seemed like something we would do, you know.
His every opinion seems completely devoid of jurisprudence to me. It's just completely partisan.
You know, it starts to get into the philosophicals of like what is the purpose of the Supreme Court? Like, what is it supposed to do? Do you know what I mean? What is it supposed to do? Like, why have
right.
it?
Right. What did they? Okay, yeah. What did the founders hope that the Supreme Court would do? And it actually pretty quickly, with John Marshall and Marbury versus Madison, and judicial, the idea of judicial review really wasn't in the original thing, but it was, you know, in the Constitutional Convention. They thought it would be a court of last resort.
They're like a last line of defense to stop like a rogue circuit judge, a rogue, right?
Yes.
Because we don't want laws being created because we have some outlier, you know, we have some renegade that, right? I mean, I don't.
Yeah. And it's certainly, since Marbury versus Madison, it's been an interpreter of the laws. But I don't think Congress, when they were, and it was mostly people that were wind up in Congress that wrote the Constitution, I don't think they were really thinking that they were creating a court that could second guess their laws.
I mean, I, you know, the last line of defense for an innocent person accused of a crime, right?
Yeah.
You know, the last line of defense for that, that's a good job.
That's basically what they were thinking. Yeah.
But not, you know, I mean, look, the Gore Bush thing, you know, is that where it really starts to go off the rails there, you know, during that?
It had gone off the rails before. I mean, Dred Scott decision, you know, if you want to go back far enough. But the...
Change that, should be gradual. I always felt that change should be gradual. So I always viewed the Supreme Court as, or courts in general, kind of a way to stop things from happening so quickly.
Absolutely. And that's why the judges are for life, a lifetime appointment, as opposed to, you know, I mean, some offices are 2 years, some are 6 years, some are 4 years. It's that they all come in at the same time. And right. You get the staggered, you know, you know, partisanship, so that not one partisan takes over all at once. And that's kind of the idea.
It's like, where is the will of the people reflected? You know, like for example, the marijuana thing, like, you know, 70% of the country was like, it shouldn't be illegal.
Yeah.
And so it took many years after that to finally decriminalize it.
Well, the Heritage Foundation does not trust the will of the people, just right. Straight out, does not. So they're certainly against anything that would rein in the Electoral College, for instance, which is also completely anti-democratic, crazy stuff that no other democracy in the world has anything remotely like it.
It doesn't make any sense. Well then you would, if you didn't have the Electoral College, you would disenfranchise people in Wyoming. Excuse me. People in Wyoming are disenfranchised. That's the whole point. Right. That's the whole fucking point of moving to Wyoming. So you don't have the government giving a shit about you. That's the point of moving there.
Which is if you want representation in Wyoming, you've got your senators and congressmen. The president is the president of all the people. You elect a congressman from, you know, your district in Wyoming to, you know, have representation there. But the president is the president of the whole country.
Yeah, the whole country is voting. And if I want my vote to count more, it's not supposed to. it's one vote. It's just one vote.
And what could go wrong with every time, every 10 years, the whatever partisan is in control gets to completely redraw voting districts in a way that advantages them.
Jesus, okay. Every 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be a factor coming up too. There's been some,
you got districts that look like, you have districts now that look like Rorschach slides. You know what I mean?
Well, that's how the gerrymandering got its name. Was their Eldridge Gerry. This goes back to like the first couple of decades of constitutional. Eldridge Gerry was drawing a district that looked like this. The outline looked like some this creature that looked like they called it a mander or something like that. So it was Gerry Mander because it looked like a dragon.
Yeah. like a turtle with eagle wings.
Right. Yeah. So, and it's never worked the way they envisioned from day one. It's been a failure for day one. But, you know, people who don't like the will of the people, it works out for their
interest. I don't have a problem with Idaho. I like Idaho. I think Idahoans should, you know, fulfill their destinies, you know. They should Idaho themselves, but you know, at the same time, there's a trade-off, I think, to moving to Wyoming or Idaho or North Dakota. There's a trade-off. There should be a trade-off.
Sure, of course. I completely agree. There's advantages and disadvantages.
I mean, you can't tell me that a person in Wyoming's vote is worth 20 times what a person in LA County's vote is worth.
That's exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. That seems very anti-democratic.
Yeah. I mean, even the fact that they get two senators in California also only gets two senators.
Well, then you'll just have the major cities making all the decisions. Well, why not? They're paying for everything.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? Last time I checked, we're not a welfare state in California. Last time I checked, we pay for about 11 states worth of shit.
That's right.
So,
do you know? But we've got the fifth largest economy in the world too. So there's that.
I don't know. I'll never accept the Electoral College. I don't know.
No, I'm
out.
Totally. That should be gone. There's no democracy in that at all.
No. And when I see,
that was kind of the deal when they wrote the Constitution, there were those who really didn't trust the will of the people.
Right, we can't let the mob decide, the unwashed masses.
yeah. John Adams again.
The people that are paying for everything.
Yep.
I don't know. Would you like to have a situation where you get to vote on what your tax dollars go to? Like, I'd like more money to go towards this or this. Would you like that as part of your income tax thing?
Why not, you know? I mean, that's kind of what, Joan Baez. Paid 40% of, or no, 60% of her taxes she paid because 40% was going to defense and she didn't agree with that.
Wow. So she threw an extra 20% in there?
No. She docked it by 40%.
Oh, I see. Interesting. And that translated into how many years in jail?
I know. There was some. I don't know how it was resolved, but I remember that being a headline at one point.
The whole idea of taxes is crazy. It's like, how much do I owe? We know how much you owe. Okay, well, how much is it? Well, we're not going to tell you. You have to figure that out. Well, what if I'm wrong? You go to jail.
Yeah, right.
Okay. we're here, James. We're here. It is Super Sunday.
It is Super Sunday. Apparently, Taylor Swift is going to make it.
Kingmaker. We can call her Kingmaker now if we want to. The last game that Taylor Swift attended, which was not a Super Bowl, it was just a playoff game, was the most watched football game in the history of the NFL.
NFL loves it.
We're talking like an extra 20 million viewers, basically.
So when the Chiefs win in a rigged game, her and Travis are going to go down to the podium and endorse Biden, though. So I'm waiting for that.
Well, I think first what's going to happen is he's going to kneel at midfield and offer the ring for marriage. Okay. And I'll say this, too. If Taylor Swift kneels during the national anthem, the whole country could be in flames by 10 p.m. You know what I mean? This should be interesting. This should be interesting. You know, I'm rooting for Taylor's boyfriend. I hope he has a great game. I saw somebody post that said, "Hey, at Taylor Swift's boyfriend's football game, there's going to be an Usher concert." You know? It's like Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
I was watching him being interviewed one time, and they kept cutting in with questions about Taylor Swift. And it seems like he really is into this relationship with her. He really loves her, it seems like, you know.
Yeah.
But he was starting to get an expression on his face like, yeah, well.
Come on, guys. Right. You know. I love it. You know, and I guess the fact that I do love it is kind of, it should teach me something, you know, that, you know, this isn't sustainable in the sense of, you know, that's why that's why they're saying the things they're saying that are so negative, is because they, it makes them feel good, right? The pain they think liberals are feeling, that's what drives them. So for me to sit here and enjoy this because I'm imagining these conservatives upset about it, it's the same fucking thing, right?
Is it Schadenfreude?
It's exactly what it is, and I don't know it. So far, that hasn't yielded any fruit for the country. Right. So I'm wondering, you know, how long does this go on? And I like to consider myself a smart person, and my point is, I'm doing it still. So, you know, what hope do we have of beating this? When Trump is gone, then what happens?
Yeah, right. So the forces that have been aroused by the possibility of Trump, they're not going away.
They're not going away.
Because they've always been there. They just knew they didn't really have the wherewithal. Well, now they think they got the wherewithal.
Well, in 2028, you're going to have possibly Gavin Newsom versus Ron DeSantis running for president.
Right. So the thing that is, Trump has the populace. None of the others do yet. Not even DeSantis.
Right.
Not even Nikki Haley.
Defeating Trump this in November doesn't mean we're done with Trump in any way.
That's also true.
Because it's four short years to 2028.
Right.
And as old, you know, Biden being so old, all bets are off. If Trump can stand there, they'll run him again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, he'd be two and done at that point. So,
but are we strong enough to survive two elections, two more? What would you say the percentage odds are of a civil war happening, if you had to put a percentage on it?
It's hard to say how it would play out, because it's not geographic. It's every town has progressives and MAGAs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Happy Super Sunday, everyone. You know, this is an unofficial American holiday. Undoubtedly, many of us will be gathering with friends and family, excited to see possibly Taylor Swift's boyfriend win his third Super Bowl.
Right.
So I just want to say to everybody, you know, let's have today be a Super Sunday. Let's
have a spectacular
Super Bowl Sunday. Let's not fall into the constant thing of infighting and political this, and they're using politics so that we don't talk about anything else.
Right.
That's the point.
And why shouldn't Fannie Willis and her special prosecutor not have a romantic relationship?
Exactly. but, you know, love who you love.
Love the one you're with, or something like that.
Love the one you're with. I mean, I'm saying love who you love. And
love who you love,
And today, when you're with friends and family, and maybe today isn't the day to go through the whole Trump bullshit and go through all that. Maybe just enjoy the football game today. You know?
Right.
Enjoy your time with your friends, a little barbecue maybe an adult beverage, you know?
Right. They probably won't cut to Taylor Swift up in the stands that much, you know. You don't have to worry.
Look, you're going to have to see her on camera for about 49 seconds, probably, over the course of a 5-hour broadcast. So
yeah, right.
It's okay.
You should be fine.
It's okay, you know. At least he's not dating. Hey, would you rather have him date her or Nicki Minaj? You know what I mean? I'm talking to the conservatives here. I'm saying this could be much worse, you know.
Right, it could be Nicki Minaj.
It could be Nicki Minaj, you know, and kneeling with the anthem and the whole thing, and you know,
count your motherfucking blessings.
Hey, God bless Taylor Swift, though. I'm telling you, you know, anybody that takes a guitar as a 13, 12 year old girl and goes to a mall and starts performing with her little amp, and you know what I mean? Hey, look, that's the American dream, right?
Totally.
That's the American dream. They should be all in.
And she's from country, you know? Jesus.
She's as country as it gets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She makes Dolly Parton look cosmopolitan. You know what I mean? Anyway, God bless her. And God bless everyone, you know?
Yeah.
If you believe in God.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Travis motherfucking Kelce. No. I don't like the 49ers. I never did. I'm a Cowboys fan. So that's, you know, my allegiance, no matter how this would have played out politically, I would have been against the 49ers. So, you know, I'm a real football fan.
So. Okay, so I'm definitely not. I'm a poet, so.
Well, you're a poet warlord.
Okay, I'll buy that.
I guess the point of all that was, you know, let's just have at least one day where we can just enjoy the company of our friends and family and not worry about what they think, you know? Just enjoy some time
let's
together.
Let's just try.
Give it a try. Give it a try.
Yeah.
If somebody tries to bring it up, go, hey, look, you know, let's enjoy the game. You know, let's enjoy this barbecue. Let's, you know, we need to set it. We need to start figuring out how to set it down. We are all
right.
We're all carrying
it. Don't be so mad. Get, you know,
nothing is going to be solved with your conversation over the meal today. Nothing.
Yeah.
So,
right. Don't be meanies. Enjoy some weenies.
Don't be. I love that. Did you just talk me into getting hot dogs for the game today? Did that just happen? Show's brought to you by Oscar Mayer.
Good morning.
No, James, look, this has been great. It's a spectacular Super Sunday. So I hope you have a great Sunday.
Good morning. And you too. To
the many thousands of people who were listening to this who thought it was something else, we're sorry. This was a command decision that was made.
And no AI involved in this at all.
Unfortunately, no AI involved.
We're totally, well, we would say that a little, wouldn't we, if we were fake AI.
We would say that.
Forget I said that.
Don't be afraid. Be afraid of the AI. You know?
That's another show.
It's another show, but being afraid of the AI is like being afraid of the telephone. Okay? It's okay. It's going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is another show. Next show we'll do.
Standard bird.
Next show we'll do AI. So.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, James. And this has been All You Fascists on Spotify or your favorite streaming service.